This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. I'm looking for the Technorama fan club meeting. Over there, in the media corner.
Well, which one of the two chairs is for me?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. This is the network show for January 31st, 2011. This is the companion podcast to Technorama with all of your email, voicemail, and social network comments. So if you're new to Technorama and this doesn't make any sense to you, there is another major piece of this. You might want to go back a show or two and have a listen. Otherwise, pull up a chair, spend a few minutes with us, and a few of our closest friends who wrote in or called the listener line, sent us an audio clip or whatever. We're here for you. With me is... Oh, wait. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm confused, much like you are.
A little more put together than I am, obviously.
Maybe.
Hey, you have a good week?
I did. I'm still celebrating my birthday.
Salivating your birthday?
Pretty much. Actually, we had to go to my parents' house, and my brother's birthday is like this coming week, so we kind of celebrate them both at the same time, you know.
He's turned that magical, mythical Douglas Adams 42.
Yes. I'm still waiting for the answers, but you know.
Trust me, they don't all get there. You get a few more every year.
It's like a carrot that kind of leads you on until the end of life. That's the answer. That's it.
It's like in a dictionary where you get two new words every day.
That's right. Yeah. Until finally you go, I've got it. Anyway.
Then you're given all the answers.
That's right.
I had a busy week.
Yeah, how about that? How was your week, Chuck?
I had another busy week. Yeah, another trip to Chicago. Had one a couple of weeks before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get into that a little bit more after we get some voicemail.
Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy Chicago?
I'm getting used to it.
You're getting used to it.
People were less hostile with me, even though the Packers just beat the Bears.
I was going to say, you've learned to carry a knife and a gun.
Oh, it's a great place.
I'm sure.
Got a lot of friends down that way. A lot of other podcasters, too.
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, Phil from the Britain Yankee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
We've got PC Herring, who's down that way.
That's right. He lives outside of Chicago or something, doesn't he?
Yes, he did. I'll talk to you about that. He gave me a very nice gift. We had dinner last Wednesday night. But first, let us roll on with the voicemail.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out.
All right, this time, instead of ripping the paper, I just had to get out a Kleenex and blow my nose. All right, first one is from Mad Marv regarding our app-enabled TVs. We talked about it a while ago. Last week, I think. Marv?
Speak up.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Marv from Hawaii. About app-enabled TVs, I guess the question for me is whether I'll ever buy another standalone TV again. You know, in my life, because I'm doing pretty well with, you know, my laptop and external monitor. I guess if I had a family and I needed to get a family TV, I might buy one. And if I did, it would not be app-enabled. Same reason as you guys mentioned. I'd probably have to upgrade either the computer or the TV at different times, and they'll never really be in sync. And one will always be better than the other, so it makes more sense to keep them separated. Okay, bye.
Well, not to mention the redundancy. You got apps on your TV, you got apps on your Blu-ray, you got apps on the Wii, you got, it's like,
hey, how many places can I have Pandora?
How many places can I have Netflix and YouTube?
I guess not too many.
Seriously?
They're on your iPad, yeah. They're on whatever device you stick on your TV and your TV. Come on.
Well, I mean, that's different. iPad is meant to be a portable device, but my TV devices are all getting the same apps. That just isn't adding up now. There's no extra value to me to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's getting to the point where all the apps are so ubiquitous, they're on everything. So what's the point in trying to differentiate yourself by putting these apps on your device?
And speaking of which, what in the world happened to Netflix stock last week? Do you see that? Do you own Netflix stock?
No, I don't. But
I do.
I might somewhere in my 401k.
It shot up Thursday, they must have had a closing bell announcement or something, or all the analysts went, hey, it's a buy of a sudden.
I think
it went from about 187 or 192, I think it was, 192 to about 210. Like, that's a 10% hop in one morning.
I'll tell you what I think it is, and I have to do some research really to find out for sure, but the CEO was making comments that they were trying to get away from doing the shipping DVDs at all. So, for example, like on your iPad, you won't be able to add things to your DVD list. You can only add things to your instant queue.
Okay, then they better get really quick at releasing the latest stuff.
Well, that was my thought was, well, you know, they need to make a deal with like Warner Bros. And all them that want to wait 30 days, you know, before release, or 28 days, and make things happen.
Well, no, the streaming content right now is way behind.
On top of that, Amazon had just shown that, you know, their Prime customers, where you pay a little more and you get expedient service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're, for their Prime customers, you'll be able to stream for free a lot of the stuff.
Stream for free?
Yeah. So for example, you pay $80 to be a Prime Amazon customer.
Okay.
You'll be able to use their streaming service for free. Now, I don't know. I'm sure there's some things you still pay for, but it's like they're kind of getting into that market that Netflix and Hulu are in.
Well, even Best Buy Reward Zone, when you get to be a Platinum member, you get like one free streaming download a month too.
Yeah, but I'm talking like, you know, for the $80 you pay, $79 you'd pay to be an Amazon Prime customer, you'll get the streaming thrown in for free. So you get a little extra benefit of expedient service and stuff for shipping as well as the streaming. So it's kind of an added value more than Netflix. So
Netflix $80 a month though?
A
year. Oh God. Okay.
No. So it's comparable. It's comparable if you had a streaming only Netflix account. You know, and you paid for that over the year.
Yeah.
So the prices are very close, but you get extra perks on Amazon side too. So I think what's happened is Netflix is getting a lot of competition from all sides. I still enjoy Netflix, but you know, it's really the area to watch.
Yeah, it is. And there was an article recently that said that cable subscriptions are down for the first time in 2010. Ever. I mean, cable's been around for, what, 30, 35 years?
Well, I mean,
in the mainstream?
Everybody that I've talked to, they go, oh, yeah, I just watch it on Hulu, or they mention Netflix. It's like, you know, those are the places to go now. So
it's an on-demand society, and the networks better catch on or get out of the way.
And this is something we've all been pining for since the dawn of the internet. And you saw your first internet video, you went, oh, you know, and it's coming around. You got YouTube, you got Netflix, Amazon, all this stuff. So what, you know.
You saw your first internet video, it was like somebody with their dog, and the second one was bang,
chicka, wham. No, yeah, I was going to say, I couldn't share that one with the public. No.
And it was all downhill from there. Craig going, wow, when can I get this in my house?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what Mark in Memphis has to weigh in on the subject.
Hey, guys, it's Mark in Memphis. Thank you for the shout-out.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
On one of your discussions, if I'm not carrying it around, I do not like modular devices for just the specific reasons that you selected. If one piece of it goes bad, it's all bad. So if a piece of that, you know, the little head inside it breaks, or the disc goes out, or the apps are not kept up, whatever it is, it affects the entire device. So I prefer modular unless I'm carrying it around. Then I see value in having one device that does anything. Bye.
I think he meant integrated the first time when he said everything all together and one piece goes out. And then he said he prefers modular.
Yeah, and why not? But, you know, again, Sony decides to not support a lesser model, you know, after a year or two, and you're kind of stuck. You know, I'm just saying, for example.
Well, I mean, same thing could be said for, you know, Apple with any of their devices, too. But, you know, when it comes to the TV, I think modular makes more sense there. But, hey, I've been wrong before. I used to like the non-integrated devices myself until the quality of a lot of the pieces came up to snuff.
No, I saw the writing on the wall when, because you kept saying, I don't like the integrated camera and stuff with my phone. I'm like, what? How can you not? You know, camera.
Oh, it's because it was like a 320 by 200 camera. Who wants that?
Well, I'm just saying, I knew the quality gets better over time. I'm just saying that.
That's right.
Being able to carry something like that, a camera / phone / internet all in your hand, that's
a mobile device. He said he actually does like those.
Yeah. And I'm talking about you. At one point, you didn't like that, but now
that's,
you know,
what I said. I can change my mind.
Okay, you can change your mind.
You know what would make even more sense?
Here's a thought.
All right, think back to the old days when you had slots in your computer. What if they did something like that on a TV? Made plug-in cards.
No.
I'm
not buying that either. I like being able to hook a cable up to it, you know, and just be a viewer, a monitor.
Your Blu-ray player could be a slap-in module, kind of like the removable CD-ROM drives. You know, like laptops used to have the, a peripheral bay. You could put in an extra battery on the old ThinkPads, or you could put in a DVD, or you could swap out the CD and put the battery back in.
No.
If you did something like that with a TV, not just one slot, though, make it multi-slot.
No, then you're prone to architecture change. No.
And not if it's an open architecture.
Come on, man. We had
you know, for the first 7 years, it'd be, well, Panasonic has this interface, look, so you can only get the Panasonic thing.
For the longest time, when PCI came out, how many PCI cards did you have? For a long time, it was none. Then it was just the video card.
Yeah,
and that was it. I mean,
no. There was a USB card too, because USB.
No, I'm just saying.
Before they built it into the motherboards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, there was hardly any PCI cards. Other than a video card. I mean, I know there's some other ones out there, but I'm just saying, you know, it went largely unused. There was four slots, and how many cards you put in there? You know, I don't know. I just don't think.
Wait. That even gets better, because remember what happened if you didn't have enough slots? They'd start having multifunction cards. So now you're going to do the same thing in your TV, so you'd have everything on one card. So what's the difference?
Oh, yeah. So I don't know. I would rather go with a standard like DVI or even VGA, or, you know, where I can hook a cable up. I don't need
HDMI, man. That's what it's for.
HDMI. I don't want to stick a card in the thing. No.
All right. I was just throwing the idea out there and thought maybe it was worth exploring. These are the kind of discussions we have after the Technorama show usually ends, and we say, gee, we ought to always record these. But
we had a good discussion last week.
If you have any thoughts on the app-enabled TVs, certainly let us know, because they were kind of prevalent at CES. And if the majority says, and the vendors just want to ram it down your throat, it'd have to be a pretty price-attractive element. I don't see how it's going to win. All right, that's it for the voicemail. Obviously, I think we agree that the internet is the future of watching your media.
Movies, oh, TV, God, yes. Whatnot.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in agreement there.
Hey, honestly, I can watch almost everything that I need to watch on the internet. Really?
Wait a minute. Almost everything.
Well, I take it back. CBS is now putting on full episodes on their site, so I can watch.
Okay.
Seems like everything. For the long time, that was the holdout. Like, you know, the Big Bang Theory, you can't watch full episodes until recently they started putting them on their site.
Oh, I see. Speaking of putting things on, I see you put one in here at the last minute. Jorg wrote us an email. I apologize for not getting that sooner. He writes, "Hey, Chuck and Craig, I was recently discussing with a friend about how Google helps us learn new skills. He usually has a hard time finding information he needs. I usually find what I'm looking for and learned a lot of things through Googling." I always was curious, when did that become a verb?
Google. The year after Google came out?
Mostly things related to programming and building computers. Oh, yeah. Awesome references there. The weirdest thing I learned was probably kissing, though. I don't know where this is going.
What? Wait a minute.
He learned how to kiss through Google.
Okay. Well.
So what's the weirdest things you've learned to Google?
I guess it's kind of lonely in Belgium.
I can't get this image of a webcam out of my mind.
No. Sorry, Yoga.
Weirdest things I've learned to Google. Well, I don't know if you remember, what was it called, where you'd put in three words and you try and get one and only one hit? Google mashing, Google bashing, something like that.
Yeah.
What was that called?
I don't remember.
And there was this combination of three words. I remember seeing it on the screensavers way back when. And there was a combination of three words. I don't remember what the first two were, but the last word was fishwife. And actually, fishwife is a real word. And it came up with one and only one hit. Now I'm
fishwife,
sure.
Fishwife? What in the world is that?
It was word one, word two, and fishwife. Go look it up, man.
It's a woman who sells fish. Whoops. Wow. I didn't know that. Okay. Oh, Google whacking.
Google whacking. That's what it was. That's thanks, funny. Matt Barf remembers.
Well, it's funny that Jorge had sent this in. I wasn't specifically thinking about kissing, but I was just telling someone the other day that I think in the last 10 years, I think I've learned more than I have without the internet previously. You know, just because there's so much information. You can say, I want to know about a fishwife, you know, and there it is, you know, and I can do it from a phone or, you know, in the last couple of years. And it's just amazing how much information on that. If you want to learn about anything, you can between videos. Yeah, I was talking about videos too. It's like, I want to see a piece of software and what it does. I can go to YouTube and type in the software. I can find a demo of almost everything. So would you agree in the last 10 years, it's probably been more expansive for you learning things?
Oh, it's just so much easier to find things than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got down to 26 results when I typed in Technorama, Fan Club, and Tomasi.
Wow. 26?
26. Let's see what we get when we put in Step. 9.
Yay. Yeah.
You can almost Google whack your own name right out of the fan club.
Hey, look.
Definitely. It's much, much easier to
wait a minute. I typed
find
in
information.
Technorama, Step, Fan Club, and I got one result.
Really? You just rearranged the words, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Step. Your last name, right?
Yep. Technorama, Step, Fan Club, all one.
See, even the internet is getting faster because the Google Instant Search thing makes it so much easier.
It does.
I'm still at 9, dude. Technorama, Step, Fan Club. One word or two for Fan Club?
Well, how are you?
One word for Fan Club.
One word for Fan Club, yeah. Hmm. In order to show you the most relevant results, we have admitted some entries very similar to the first already displayed. If you like, you can read the repeat search.
Oh, wait. Maybe this is the difference. Do you have Safe Search turned on?
It's off. I don't need stupid Safe Search. What? I turn it off, baby.
So you get one result with Safe Search off, and I get
Wait. Maybe I should spell Technorama right. Okay. My bad.
So there's a Technorama fan club.
Technomama. Yeah.
Oh,
hey, why
boy.
Should I have Safe Search turn on? I'm an adult. It's my computer.
I was going to say, well, see, if you had Safe Search turned on and only got one result, and I have it off and got 9, that means everybody's swearing at us.
Well, hey, you know, just the other day I saw this story. They were talking about people were up in arms because the instant search is now starting to filter out not just curse words and things like that, but BitTorrent sites. And this is the instant search now. You know, you can press enter and see all the results, right?
Okay.
Okay. So they were upset because they thought Google was, or they were saying that Google was bowing down and suppressing these results. I'm like, well,
it's maybe, Chinese.
Well, I was like, maybe a little bit on the instant search, but even if you type in some curse words, you know, they don't show you any results. You press enter and you see them, right? So,
right.
But anyway, that's why I was like, well, I don't really see how they're censoring per se, because you can just press enter and you see a BitTorrent or whatever, you know. So what do you think about that? Chat room.
Well, the chat room is thinking about this. I'm going to tell you what I did this last week. So I mentioned last week I was in Chicago, mm-hmm. right?
Right, sure.
And Tuesday night, I got down there Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday night, I had dinner with some friends I hadn't seen for 25 years.
Wow.
So very nice catching up with them.
School friends, yep. College, what?
Actually, they're old customers.
Okay.
Old customers. In another lifetime, galaxy far, far away, used to live in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and we ran scuba diving charters. And they were customers, regular customers who come on our scuba diving charter boat.
So, oh, okay. All right. Oh, yeah.
Some of you may recall seeing a picture in the background at one point with me as a teenager, hat on backwards. I think you remember seeing that one.
That's, oh, yeah, that's, with the curly hair?
That's from that era. Yes, it is. Okay.
Head full of hair, too.
Yeah, still got a full head of hair. And Wednesday night, that was out in Villa Park, so that was about a 15-20-minute drive. Well, 15 miles, whatever mm-hmm. it was, in rush hour traffic on 290. Wednesday night, went out to Naperville, but a little bit further of a trip, to have dinner with PC Herring. And we went to a Lou Malnati's pizza place. Old firehouse converted into a pizza place. Very nice.
Cool.
Excellent pizza. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you're in Chicago, pizza's recommended. Well, he was giving me the nickel tour of his apartment and handed me this black envelope, what I have on the webcam. And inside was a brown envelope, what I have on the webcam. And inside of that was a print of his Cybrosis album artwork cover.
So oh.
The glossy reflection here. So you might get that out of there. You know, with the brunette. If you haven't heard his podcast novel Cybrosis, you must do so, not just because I'm in it.
That's cool, by the way. It looks like a poster almost.
Yeah, it's a full 8x10 print, and I'm going to frame this up. And then he wrote some very nice things on the back. And I'm told that the other cast members got theirs at Balticon this spring. So I'm just a little late because we haven't had a chance to catch up.
Right.
So it was very nice. Thank you very much, Paul, again for dinner. That was very cruel of you to trick me and pay for it while I was in the restroom. I was fully prepared, and now I have to. Hey, I had to go to the men's room, and when I came back, the bill was paid. I was like, doggone it.
Oh.
So I'm going back.
I thought you said they tricked you to pay for it.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he paid for it, which was completely unexpected and very much appreciated. I will be going back and repaying that debt at some point. none in the planned future, but always looking for an opportunity. Maybe we'll just take the family down, have a vacation, and go see U.S. Brit 1 from the Brit and Yankee. And,
from
you know,
Twitter.
We should probably just have a meetup, for crying out loud.
Hey, and from Twitter, it looked like you had just missed him by a little hair.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. And I found a high school friend of mine that's down in that area as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So I checked in on Foursquare. I actually added their scuba store to Foursquare. It wasn't on there. It's been there for 30 years.
Chuck
DeMoxie,
scouring the world for places that don't exist on Foursquare.
And an old high school friend of mine, she said, boy, I didn't even know that place was there. And I said, oh, Joan, are you in, you know, the Chicago burbs? She goes, yeah. She, I didn't know she was a diver. She didn't know I was a diver. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those weird things. So it's like,
Wait a minute. When's the last time?
Social networking is bringing you back together with old friendships, and that's what it's really all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know what's funny? Speaking of that a little bit, George Starcher had gone and met with Victor, and they went to Macworld this last week.
Yeah.
And what was funny was I was on the computer when I guess Victor had picked him up in Ontario, California. You're familiar with that airport.
Oh, yes.
And they were going down the highway, and they were tweeting or something. And I saw where he had come online on Google Talk, or maybe he said something to me. So I said, turn on Google Latitude so I can watch y'all going down the road. So he did. And what was funny was I was watching him going down the highway on Google Latitude, and I knew that they were near Douglas E. Welch because I saw his icon above them. And I knew that Douglas was making spaghetti sauce because I just saw it on Twitter. So I told them they should go by his house and get some spaghetti. And then I had one of those internet moments where I went, oh, that's cool. I know more about what's going on the West Coast in that little area right there, all because of social media.
Skynet.
Hold on, George. Let me send the Terminators to your location. Anyway,
it's now going to be called StepNet.
I just thought that was funny. I knew all that stuff was going on right then.
It's kind of pretty bizarre, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Hey, we have been yammering on for quite some time, and we're going to bring you the regular show in a couple of days. But for those listening on the live cam, that'll happen in just a couple of minutes. That brings us to the end of the network show. If you want to get in touch with us, let us know. We appreciate your support. 206-222-2428 is one way you can support the show, by offering your comments on app-enable TVs or social networking or what have you. You can also email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, like Yorga did. Flag us on Twitter. There's a number of ways you can do that. Follow us on the website. All that good contact information is available there. We'd love to hear from you. We haven't heard from you in a long time. You can also join us in the chat room Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time.
You don't want to hear just us talking to each other.
That's right. If this was any indication, yeah.
Maybe this show will get you in the mood to call in.
We appreciate all your support, and also appreciate the following people for donating their time and talent to keeping Technorama going. Matt Marv for providing all the great blog content. Ustream, who keeps our modest live stream going on Sunday nights and archiving our shows as they go along. You can also, if you haven't seen it live on Sunday night, you can watch it again on the website at chuckchat.com/Technorama. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all of the great podcasts that live there. If you can't find something you like at Farpoint Media, you're not looking hard enough. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
Yeah, 101. Sounded like a wrestler there, didn't it? One, zero, one.